brothers and sisters, I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Before I take a look at the readings for today, I just want to again encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net. As you peruse that website, I think you'll begin to see what we're doing in terms of materials for the Great Year of Mercy that Pope Francis will inaugurate at the end of this year in December. But we're now trying to compile materials. We're putting out some new booklets that will be out within the next several months. We're recording some new material, all in the hopes that it will help you to enter into this year of mercy. God's mercy. What is God's mercy? How do we receive God's mercy? What does it mean for us? What does it ask of us? Well, we'll be answering a lot of those questions over the course of the year as you listen to our CDs, as you read our booklets especially. I think you're going to find some good information. And I want to take 1 minute here to just say, please enter this year of mercy with your heart open, because God really does, in his gracious love for us, full of grace, his love that is full of grace, desires to equip us and to make us ready. Today we take a look at the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. If you're not familiar with Scripture, if you don't read it every day, please begin. But if you don't read Scripture regularly, I particularly encourage you to read Paul's letter to the Romans. It's one of the most quoted letters in the entire Bible because it gives such powerful instruction. And secondly, it really shows us what happens to a person who is sold out for the Lord. And we all know Paul is the one who persecuted Christians very severely. He was a bystander at the death of Stephen. He held the cloaks of others while Stephen was stoned. Paul was a ferocious warrior for what he thought was the truth. And when he came to the real truth, his writings both teach us tremendous truths, but they also inspire and encourage. And Romans 8 is one of those that does both. Beginning with verse 18, brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. Do you see why faith is so important? For Paul, it was just a given. He knew what God had promised, and he was ready to lay down his life for it. And he says so clearly, I consider that the sufferings of this present time, and remember, this was a man who was flogged, who was beaten many, many times, who was imprisoned, was threatened with all kinds of difficulties, and some of which he actually had to endure. He shipwrecks. He endured everything, brothers and sisters, and look what he says. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. That's one of those verses in Scripture you just want to take and memorize and recall it when you're going through difficulty. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. God created this earth to serve us, and how much we misuse it. That's only one aspect of this interpretation, but I want you to see that Paul was able to look at all of creation, men, women, children, and all of the earth, to look at it and to see that God wanted us to be free from corruption And they wanted us to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God, of what God had prepared for us. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now, and not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. You have the first fruits. You've been baptized. Are you living out of it? You've been confirmed. Are you living out of it? Or do you just let the first fruits decay and rot on the branch? Do you take them? Do you feed on them? Do you allow them to nourish you, to flow through your veins, and to inspire and equip you? We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Our souls have been redeemed, but there is a redemption of our bodies that will come, that we will live in glory with God. Your body is the tent, the temple that houses the living presence of God. And you, with your personality and your strengths and your weaknesses. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that sees for itself is not hope, for who hopes for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. We hope for it because we know our hope is well founded. You and I, brothers and sisters, are going to live forever. Ask God for faith to believe that. Don't get so narrow, don't get so myopic that all you can see is the next hour of your life. Always look at your life in light of eternity, always. What is this to eternity? How will this help me on the road to eternity? How can I live out this difficult situation in a way that prepares me more for eternal life and union with the source of all love? That's what God wants. Psalm 126, the Lord has done marvels for us. And it's true. I love one of those verses in Psalm 126 that's quoted here for today. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. We go forth weeping many days in difficulty and trial and tribulation, but we've got the seed of his word, the seed of faith, alive within us. And one day we will come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves, the fruit of the seeds we planted. Don't be afraid to reach out to others. Pray for your family. Pray for those you work with. Pray for them. And where appropriate, pour out the seed of what you know to be true. And may people be enlivened and enlightened so that you and all those you help come one day rejoicing before the throne of God, carrying the sheaves, carrying the fruit of your labor. That's what God wants to do for you. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 18 to 21. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. Mustard seed is the smallest of the seeds. What can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches. The fruit of your faith can provide shelter and protection for those who will follow after you. Or do you not water the seed? Do you not till the soil around the seed? That is by faith and by hope and by love, so that the seed dies because it is not watered. What are you doing with the seeds that God has planted in your life?" Again, he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." You put in a little bit of leaven and it affects the whole batch of dough and causes it to rise and to be bread that is excellent for feeding, for nourishment, for pleasure. Good bread is good bread. Brothers and sisters, God is giving us all these analogies to show us the parallels in terms of the supernatural life, in terms of grace. You respond to grace. It's like putting leaven in the dough of your day, of your life, and letting it rise within you, faith growing stronger, hope growing stronger, love growing stronger, because you know where you're going. And you live in such a way that this is not your eternal home. You're a pilgrim. You're a sojourner in this life. And you do good to everyone so that they join you on the journey. But this is not your lasting home. Are you living out your journey? Because it is a pilgrimage all our lives. All our lives. St. Teresa of Avila said this about seed. She said, "You must have already heard about God's marvels manifested in the way silk originates, for only he could have invented something like that. The silkworms come from seeds about the size of little grains of pepper." Think of that. The silkworms come from seeds about the size of little grains of pepper. She says, "I have never seen this, but I've heard of it, and so it is something. So if something in the explanation gets distorted, it won't be my fault." In other words, I'm sharing this with you second-handedly. "When the warm weather comes and the leaves begin to appear on the mulberry tree, the seeds start to live, for they are dead until then. And the worms nourish themselves on mulberry leaves until, having grown to full size, they settle on some twigs. And there, with their little mouths, they themselves go about spinning the silk and making some very thick little cocoons in which they enclose themselves. The silkworm, which is fat and ugly, then dies. And a little white butterfly, which is very pretty, comes forth from the cocoon." What she's saying is, we take something so small, so minuscule, that if we didn't look carefully, we could miss it. And in it throbs the seed of life to bring goodness and beauty and nourishment into our lives. And you and I, brothers and sisters, have all these seeds within us from baptism and confirmation. We need to water them. Water them. Feed them. Feed them by good reading. Feed them by good friends. Feed them by good conversations. Feed them however you can. Feed them by time before the Blessed Sacrament. All of that actually nourishes your soul, nourishes the seeds that are within each one of us. Brothers and sisters, at harvest time, we want to rejoice. We want to rejoice, as the psalm told us, carrying the sheaves. We want to come back. We want to come into the presence of God, carrying the sheaves. Take a look. What are the seeds in your life that you know are there? Ask God to show you, and then water them, nourish them, that they may bear fruit 100-fold. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.